Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Hear the word of the Lord. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Ask someone nowadays how they're doing, and most people will respond, "I am busy." And if each of our lives represents a plate and what that plate can hold, I can see why most of us consider ourselves to be busy. We have our job that we go to that takes a lot of time, where we need to make money in order to provide for ourselves. And that takes time. That takes about 8 to 10 hours a day. So I'm going to put that on our plates. And then some of us have multiple jobs to go to. And so I'm going to take this and put it on our plates as well. We have family that we love and that we cherish, and that takes time, right? Because they're part of our lives, and so I'm going to put that on our plates. Then if you have children, well, that's going to take time, and so let's put that on our plates because we want to care for them. And if you have multiple children, let's put more toys on our plates as well. Some of us are in school and we're studying hard, and that's going to take time. So let's put this notebook on our plates. And don't forget, exercising. I mean, we all need to exercise. And so because we want to care for our bodies, we need to put that on our plates as well. And plus, we have hobbies. We love our sports and our video games. And so let's put that on our plates, our different hobbies. Let's put that on our plates. Oh, not to mention, we have pets that we love and that we care for. We need to walk them. We need to feed them. We need to groom them. Let's put that on our plates. And then don't forget, there is binge watching shows. I mean, we definitely need hours to do that. And so let's put that on our plates as well. And then there's meeting with friends and family so that we can hang out. I mean, we want to chill, right? So let's go to the movies, and that takes time. And so let's put that on our plates as well. And then there's scrolling on social media. I mean, we got to find out what's trending, what's happening around the world on the internet. And so that definitely takes time. And so I'm going to put that on our plates. And then, oh, we need to go to church. I mean, we want to go meet other people. We want to go find God. And so yes, that's going to take time. And so we're going to put that on our plates as well. And then we got to squeeze in our time with Jesus, right? I mean, we have to be with Jesus and spend time with him separate from church. And that's going to take time. So let's use this and to represent Jesus, and let's put him on our plates as well. And then some of us need sleep. Actually, all of us need sleep. That's a part of our schedule. And so let's grab this. And this is going to go on our plates as well. Oh, man, plus whatever miscellaneous stuff that we do, that's also part of our schedules. Shopping and going to the library and fun stuff. Let's throw all that in and put that on our plates as well. And our schedules are so full that we walk around with plates like this every single day. And so, yeah, I can see why many of us are busy and overwhelmed. But then as the demands of life grow, we wish that we had more time and bigger plates. But since that is not possible, as there are only 24 hours in a day, we try to accomplish everything and end up just piling on more on our plates. More commitments, more yeses to everything, more responsibilities, more stuff, as our plates are just full and overflowing. And why? Well, because we're busy. And we look important because we're doing so much. We're accomplishing so much. But below the surface, things are a mess, leaving us feeling stressed and overwhelmed because we have no breathing room. And I get it. For some of us, we are busy because we have real responsibilities on our plates, like a job and school and family. But the other reason why many of us are busy, hurried, and feel overwhelmed is because we mismanage our time. We take on too much. We allow distractions to fill our plates. Plus, we live in a culture where busyness equates being important, and so we keep our plates full in order to be seen as important. And if we ever have free time, rather than resting, we fill it with something else to do. We take on more things because that is what everyone else is doing. But what happens is that we end up stealing time from other things. So we work more hours, but we end up stealing time from our spouse or our children. We want to binge watch the latest series or play the newest video games that's out, but then we steal time from our sleep. While kids have to play every single sport, every single season. And so we steal time from getting our own exercise or developing our own friendships. And for many of us, we are so busy all the time that we even say, sorry, God, no time for church. And sorry, God, no time for you because I have to work or I have to get more sleep. Or when we do come to church, we are late and then we have to leave early because of all the other things that need to be done. And so Jesus gets pushed to the side or he's not even there. I mean, he's buried under everything and that we have to do because everything else takes priority at the moment. And why? Well, because we're busy. And when you live with no margin all the time, when something else unexpected happens that you didn't anticipate, like the boss wants you to stay late, or you have a family member that's sick, or something happens that messes with your schedule of balancing everything on our plate, we become ticking time bombs that explode and spill our anger on everything else around us. And things start spilling off the plate. Why? Because we're stressed, we're saying yes, we are burnt out. We yell at our spouse, at our kids, at our coworkers. We're never really present because we are focused on the next thing that needs to be done. And in order to cope, we find escapes like drinking, drug use, playing more video games, watching porn, scrolling on the internet, eating, or binge watching the next show. But here's the thing, the solution is not getting bigger plates. No, it's not trying to stuff more in our plates or even hoping for more time. Because the reality is that if you are already overwhelmed with the current 24-hour time that you are entrusted with, then with more time or a bigger plate, you would just end up filling up that plate with more things to do and will continue to keep you feeling overwhelmed. You know, in a new series called Overwhelmed, Finding God in Our Crazy Busy Lives, because when it comes to life, most people are feeling overwhelmed. People are overly stressed, angry, and burnt out because we're always in a hurry. But that is not how God intended for us to function, because if we follow Him, then our lives should start to look like his and not like this. And in order to begin tackling this, there are two questions we want to ask ourselves based on how I'm functioning. The first is, do I like who I'm becoming? And secondly, where is Jesus on the plate of my life? Because when we're functioning in a way where our plates are constantly overflowing, then it is likely that Jesus is buried or even pushed to the side, which is why we function the way that we do. We're busy, we're overwhelmed, we're always stressed and in a hurry. But how can we say we follow Jesus when the way that we function is so unlike Jesus? Because Jesus was never in a hurry. And trust me, he had a lot to do, but he wasn't overwhelmed. Because he knew that if his relationship with his Father was a priority, and if he spent time cultivating that relationship first, no matter what happened in life, no matter what was on his plate to deal with, he was going to be okay. The solution is not more time, but instead it is simplifying our lives around what really matters. Because what matters will define what our priorities are and what boundaries we draw. Unfortunately for many of us, we have been following what the culture says is important rather than what Jesus says is important when it comes to life. And because many follow what culture says more than what Jesus says, even followers of Jesus end up becoming people with no boundaries who function just like the culture, resulting in more stress, more busyness, more worry, and more of being overwhelmed. But did you know that being busy, hurried, and overwhelmed are actually all signs that we're not managing our time and priorities well? That is because we pack our schedules with the things that seem important and miss out on the things that are important. However, we are not the only ones to struggle with this. A woman named Martha, who we read about in the New Testament of the Bible, also fell into this same exact trap of being too busy and overwhelmed. We pick up the story here. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. So Jesus and his 12 closest followers or disciples have been traveling doing ministry all over the place. And when they get to this village called Bethany, a woman named Martha invites them over. You may not notice from this particular story, but Jesus was good friends with Martha and her sister Mary and her brother Lazarus. And so from time to time, whenever Jesus was in the area of Bethany, he would stop off with the disciples, take a rest, and see his friends. The story continues. She, meaning Martha, had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. To sit at someone's feet meant to be present with them and learn from them. I mean, think about it. It was like having a celebrity in your own house, right? Who wouldn't want to sit and spend time with Jesus? And I wonder what Jesus talked about when everyone was sitting around him. Maybe he talked about the last miracle that he performed, like healing a blind man. Or maybe Jesus shared about how people were coming to know him in a deeper way and putting their faith in him to save themselves. And Mary just sat there, mesmerized, listening to story after story of what God was doing. The centurion who came to faith in him. The paralyzed man lowered through the roof and healed. The calling of Matthew from his life of sin and the calming of a furious storm. I mean, we continue reading. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. While Mary was sitting, Martha was running around, distracted and busy with all the things that needed to be done. And who's to blame her, right? Everyone knows that when guests come over, you must entertain. Everything has to look good, nice, and proper. It's urgent and it's important. It's not like she has to prepare one meal and then that's it. But she has to feed a total of 15 people, including herself. Jesus, the 12 disciples, Mary, and herself. Plus, most of the guests are guys. And we all know how much men can eat. Which meant Martha had to prepare extra food, extra meats, extra vegetables, not to mention extra desserts. It's like prepping for Thanksgiving dinner. And those of you who are type A and who are all about efficiency, you're thinking, Mary is such a lazy bum. Why is she not helping her sister out? I mean, listening to Jesus can wait because there are still so many other things that need to be done. There is salad that still needs to be chopped and washed and tossed. Someone has to go watch the meats cooking so that it's not overcooked. People need refills for their drinks. What will people think if we don't get all this ready in time? What would Jesus think? And for many of us, we function like Martha, don't we? We have so much to do, so much on our plates, that we are never truly present because we are so distracted and busy. Emails to answer, text messages to respond to, meetings to conduct, phone calls to make, hours to put in, kids to tend to, bills that need to be paid, errands that need to be run, people that need you, and things that need to be fixed. It never ends, does it? These are all things that need to be done. But that's the problem. Martha was so busy because she was so focused on the things that seemed important, while Mary was focused on what was important. Martha responds, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha was so busy and hurried that she got angry at Jesus and with Mary. Jesus, can you tell her to help me? I have all this work that needs to be done. But Martha's real problem wasn't Mary and it wasn't Jesus. It was Martha. She was the one who decided to be busy, to be distracted, and to entertain the way that she did. And though hospitality was a high priority in that culture, there is no way in the text that says that Jesus came into the house expecting a perfectly swept floor, a feast, or for people to wait on him and his disciples hand and foot. Jesus came simply for fellowship with Mary and Martha and not to be entertained. He came so they could be present with him. But because Martha chose to function this way, to try to impress the guests, she became stressed thinking something like, Jesus, Mary is interrupting my plans and my schedule because she is not helping me. She needs to be busy like I am so that we can entertain you and your disciples and everything can turn out well the way that I planned. And we do the same. We take on so much, thinking that it will please people, when the reality is that people are okay if things are simple, or if we can only do so much. I have a friend who will host at his house, but he doesn't go all out because he knows that if people are coming over, they're coming for the fellowship and connection, not to come in order to do a house inspection, thinking that everything has to be perfect. So when he hosts, it is meaningful, but simple. And my friend is able to now be present with his guest, not running around all the time. Because if we're trying to make everything perfect, then we aren't really serving others, but we are really serving ourselves as we try to make ourselves look better in front of others, which contributes to our craziness and our busyness. So we keep the schedule that we have and do the things that we do in order to look better for other people. And then we get mad when people mess with our plans. And because we're so busy, choosing to take on so much, we end up saying no to things that are actually important, like being present with people or spending time with Jesus. Jesus responds to Martha saying, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Jesus is saying, "Martha, Martha, what are you doing? You're so hurried and so busy. You're so worried, irritable, and upset at everyone. Why are you stressing by doing all of this? Don't you realize that only a few things are needed? Simple sandwiches would have been just as good. And then you could have spent time with us. But because you have decided to put so much on your plate, you have become stressed and overwhelmed. Why are you focusing on the things that seem important or urgent and missing out on the things that are actually important? Your sister, Mary, she has chosen the one thing that is essential, and she has chosen what is better. She has chosen time with me. See, a busy schedule is one thing, but for many of us, our schedules have no margin that our time with God is the first to go as soon as something else comes up. Or, you know what else happens? We drown ourselves in churchy activities that make us seem holy, but in reality, we ignore God throughout our days. We don't even have a relationship with Him. Or, for some of us, Jesus is not even on our plates, but He is waiting there asking us, "Will you include me in your life?" We are so busy with so much to do that we miss God in the process. And by missing Him, we don't hear from Him, and there is no power in anything that we do. No wonder we are overwhelmed. Before His crucifixion, Jesus was very clear to His disciples, saying, "I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." What good is it trying to live our lives in our own strength and in our own power? Because when we do that, we get the exact results that we've been getting, which is constant stress, constant worry, and constantly being overwhelmed. And God is just waiting there for us to slow down so that we can be with Him. And it's in the being that we are changed. It's in the being where we start to live like Jesus. He's waiting to give us guidance, peace, perspective, and love. He is waiting for us to learn from Him so that He can heal and refresh our souls and give us His power to live at a pace whereby He would like us to live. That is why Jesus says, "What would it profit you to gain the whole world while losing your soul or lose yourself?" This applies to those of us that don't have a relationship with Jesus, meaning you can gain everything and ignore the things of God and lose your eternity. And if that happens, what's the point? For those of us who are followers of Jesus, this does not mean that you lose your salvation or your relationship with God by doing this. But it does mean that you will not live the life that God intended for you because you are so distracted by the things of this world. Instead of becoming more Christ-like, you actually become more unlike Christ. In other words, what would it profit you to get promotions at work or gain lots of money at the expense of your soul? Or accomplish a lot and get the approval of everyone else at the expense of your soul? What would it profit you to have a packed life while you suffocate yourself and destroy your soul in the process? Is it worth it? That is why Jesus says to everyone in the room, Mary has chosen what is better, and that will not be taken from her. She has chosen what is really important over what seems important. Because you can have it all. But if Jesus is not at the center of the plate of your life and in the center of how you are functioning, you will always be functioning in a way whereby you are stressed, angry, worried, and overwhelmed. I'm not saying that having things to do is not important. Rather, it is figuring out that out of all those things that we have on our schedule, what are the things that are actually important and meaningful that I should be focusing on? And what are the things in my schedule that I can cut or wait on? For example, it is looking at the condition of your plate now and figuring out, how do I get Jesus to be in the center of my plate? Because if he is at the center, you will know what's important and you will know what needs to go. So in order to do this, I'm going to encourage you to form a rule of life. Notice that it is a rule of life, not rules for life. Because the last thing we need is a hurried life filled with more rules. The word rule means trellis in Latin, because a trellis was a wooden structure used to help grapes in a vineyard to grow up and out into healthy fruit. Because grapes on the ground, or grapes that are left on the ground, don't grow into healthy fruit. But instead, what happens is they just die. And so Jesus frequently talked about abiding in him, because only when we do we start to grow towards him, which helps us to become more like him. But it is only in having a trellis or a support structure in our lives and for our lives that we can learn to be connected with God daily as we create the systems towards healthy spiritual formation. And when we have those anchors in place to stay connected with Jesus throughout our days, fruit like love, joy, peace, patience starts to become the natural byproducts that appear in our life. And we all need a trellis or support structure, as this helps us to stay connected with God and not drift from him, which can naturally happen to all of us. And the rule of life is just one of these support structures that many followers of Jesus have used for centuries. Pastor Pete Scazzaro said that a rule of life is an exterior framework for an interior journey. It is an intentional, conscious plan to keep God at the center of everything that we do. But unfortunately, many believers are very passive about following Jesus and not purposeful, resulting in falling into the trap of living a life that is hurried, overwhelmed, and that functions just like everyone else in the culture. Because think about it. If you are swimming against the currents of this world, and if you don't have structures that anchor you, then you will get swept right into what everybody else is doing. So the question is, how are you structuring your life with God right now? And is it working for you? Because if you don't have a structure or a plan that works to stay connected with God, then it won't naturally happen. We don't drift towards holiness. Instead, we need a plan that helps us to go towards holiness. So we must create a structure that can support all that we're doing as we keep Jesus at the center. Our rule of life will establish our boundaries and our priorities when it comes to our life. Our rule of life will help us to discern what roles and responsibilities God has given us and how we are to organize our life around Jesus and spiritual growth in Him. A rule of life is not making a few changes here and then a few changes there while holding on to our crazy way of living and expecting everything to change. A rule of life is meant to change the system of how we have been functioning so that we can function more like Jesus. And in order to develop a rule of life, Pastor Scazzaro gives us a suggested list of 12 elements to consider incorporating into our rule of life. The first is daily reading of Scripture. It is incorporating that into your life, reading through it systematically, memorizing Scripture, meditating on it, and applying it to your life. For example, in this category, your rule of life might be, you know what, every day, I'm going to aim to hear from God by reading one chapter of the Bible a day. Number two, silence and solitude. It is finding various times throughout your day so that you can be alone and be in silence in order to hear from God. Your rule of life for this category might be something like, you know what? In the morning, I'm going to get up 10 minutes before the rest of my family to have silence and solitude. Number three, prayer. Most people have this intentional time in the morning, but now it is looking at two or three intentional times throughout your day where you can be with God in order to talk and listen to Him. Your rule of life for this category, maybe I will spend time in prayer in the morning, then maybe at lunch, and maybe before I go to bed. Number four, study. This is investing in your spirituality by listening to sermons or podcasts on different aspects of following Jesus, or reading Christian books that challenge your thinking and build your faith. Your rule of life may be committing to join a life group so that you can study God's word in community. Number five, Sabbath. Begin setting aside a 24-hour period where you're not working, and where you do things that are fun for you and where you get to rest and connect with God. And if you have kids, it's helping them to understand rest and recreation for themselves. You may start with a half a day and begin building up from there. And later on in this series, we're going to actually talk about this practice and what that could look like practically for you in whatever season you are in. Number six, simplicity. It is removing distractions by turning off notifications, downsizing, cleaning clutter, or giving a percentage of your income away. Your rule of life may be, you know what? After 5 p.m., I will not be checking my email so that I can start to be present. Number seven, play and recreation. It is participating in activities that fill your cup and breathe life into you. Maybe it's playing sports again, like soccer or basketball. Maybe it's taking up a hobby like running, hiking, or even knitting. Number eight, service and mission. This is where you step out in faith and put love into action. It's where you are serving people in the church and in your community, and it's using your time and talents to do so. Number nine, caring for your physical body. It is aiming to get 8 hours of sleep a night, get regular exercise, and eating healthy. So your rule of life for this category may be, you know what, I'm going to exercise for at least 30 minutes four times a week. Number 10, emotional health. It is learning to be more aware of yourself, of God, and of others. It is being with people so that you can learn to have mature relationships and have others encourage you as you address your blind spots. It is seeking someone at church who can mentor you or even someone who can hold you accountable. So your rule of life for this category may be, you know what, I'm going to invest in seeing a therapist in order to sort out my trauma and issues of my past so that it doesn't keep affecting my present or my future. Number 11, family. If you're married, this is working on your relationship with your spouse. If you're a parent, then it is with your children. If you're single, it is learning how to engage in a healthy way with the opposite sex. It's dealing with conflict with family so that you can heal and have deeper relationships. It may even include drawing boundaries with family members who refuse help or insist on toxic behaviors. Number 12, community. It is having companions for the spiritual journey that you're on. So it's having mentors, people who pour into you. It's having mentees, people that you are pouring into, and lateral friendships where you are on equal footing. It is aiming to not be isolated when it comes to your life and spiritual journey, but following Jesus along with other people. So your rule of life in this category, maybe aside from church, I will aim to meet once a week with someone in purposeful spiritual community. You get to form your rule of life, and it is whatever works best for you to help you to stay anchored to Jesus and keep him at the center. Everyone will have a different rule of life, and often your rule of life will change from year to year depending on what season of life you are in. It takes time and trial and error to develop your rule of life. And a rule of life is not meant to be legalistic. Rather, it's a support structure to help you abide in Jesus throughout your days. There is freedom as you discover your own rhythms and how to keep Jesus in the center of such rhythms. Form one, enjoy it, make mistakes, tweak it, until you have a trellis, until you have a support structure that works for you. And we create one because we want to do it out of our love for Jesus and not because we have to do it. If at any time this feels burdensome, don't do it. Remember, Jesus' yoke is easy. And when you start to keep him at the center of your life, your burden becomes light as well. My rule of life is something that changes every single year. And these categories give me an overview of how included God is in each of these areas. So for me, my relationships are very important to me. And so you will find me spending time with people because I enjoy that. And it allows me to give and receive love and give life and receive life from people. I often ask friends and family members if I've offended them in any way so that I can keep short accounts and resolve conflict quickly. Prayer is also something that I aim to do multiple times a day during the day. And this is in combination with scripture reading and being in solitude. Weekly Sabbaths is very important to me. And every quarter, I aim to take a few days in a row off to just rest. I have mentors whom I'm accountable to and a spiritual director that I talk with every 6 weeks so that I can cultivate my soul while these people encourage me and even help to reveal my blind spots. Then it is having fun, exercising, resting, serving, giving. But all these things allow me to see where God is in each of these areas and to be mindful of my limits. But this plan has taken years for me to develop, and it has saved me from any sort of unnecessary hurry, worry, and stress. Because remember, we don't drift towards holiness. Instead, we need a plan that helps us towards holiness. So I want to encourage you to take the next 6 weeks to focus on one or two of these elements as you incorporate it into your life. You may want to focus on developing a rule of life for maybe prayer, scripture reading, or even play and recreation. Once you've established a trellis or support structure that works for you in a particular area, then it's moving to another area as a building block until you address each category mentioned for your life. This week in Life Groups, we will begin developing and implementing a rule of life for each of us. And if you aren't in a life group yet, it isn't too late to join us. See, if we want to function like Jesus, then we have to make space for Jesus. And this happens when we make time to sit at his feet, hear from him, and be changed by him. Many of us know Martha's life all too well, but Jesus invites us to live differently with him at the center by having his posture and pace when it comes to our life. It is learning to rearrange your life so that Jesus' life becomes your new normal. Let me pray for us. God, we don't want to function like we have been functioning. Teach us your ways as we develop our rule of life so that we can keep you at the center of our lives and as we learn to function more like you. Help us to learn from you by taking on your yoke so that we can become more loving, more joyful, more peaceful, more patient. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and hope. You want to experience his mercy and his forgiveness for your sins. Well, know that God loves you so much that he came to earth as Jesus in order to forgive you and me for our sins and to create an avenue so that we can have a real relationship with him now and for all of eternity. He lived a perfect life and he chose to die for your sins and my sins so that we can have forgiveness and new life in him. And not only did he die, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to the whole world that he wasn't just a man, but the God who saves. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you into the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me into the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're a part of his family. Please email us at info@communitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. We would love to get to know you better and give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.